Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. Well, we're in our final message today that's in our series called Redefined. We've been in this series since Easter, looking at people whose lives were redefined by Jesus. Now, starting in June, just a couple weeks from now, starting in June, we're going to begin a new series that's an old series. We're going to begin a new series called Divine Inquiry. Does that ring a bell at all? Last summer, we were in a series called Divine Inquiry where we looked at questions in the Old Testament. Well, starting this summer in June, we're going to be looking at questions that were either asked to Jesus or asked by Jesus. So we're going to be in the Gospels this summer looking at these questions asked to or by Jesus. Well, that's going to be in a couple of weeks, but today we see another person's incredible encounter with Jesus. And by seeing this encounter, we see a man whose life is totally redefined. And today's story is a favorite story for a lot of people, especially for boys and girls, for kids. Luke chapter 19 is our text. And this morning, I told some of our kids, I saw some of the kids, and I said, hey, I'm going to talk about somebody today who climbed a tree. And they said, Zacchaeus. I said, you got that right. So today's message is about Zacchaeus. Now, there's probably one major physical characteristic that most of you know about Zacchaeus, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Zacchaeus was a man who was like many people today. He was a man who was searching for something more in his life. In fact, Zacchaeus is a lot like many people who are in your neighborhood. They have stuff. They have material possessions. They have ability. They have capacity. They have capabilities. But there's something that is lacking in their life. There's something in their heart that just doesn't seem to be there, and they know it. They just don't know what that something is. And so oftentimes they look for unconventional ideas, you might say, because the norms just don't satisfy. But when you really have an encounter with Jesus, I mean, you really have an encounter with Jesus, you find that Jesus isn't the norm. Maybe religion is the norm, maybe church is the norm, maybe even Christianity is the norm, but when you encounter the true living Lord Jesus Christ, it's not the norm. Now, as we saw in the book of Romans, there are many people who are searching on this road of life. And it's on that road that many people often have an encounter with Jesus. And that's exactly what happens to this man named Zacchaeus. He has an encounter on the road. So we find somebody who is searching for something different, searching for something different in life. Do you remember the movie Forrest Gump? Lieutenant Dan? Lieutenant Dan asks a question in that movie that's a great question. He says to Forrest Gump, he says, have you found Jesus yet, Gump? And Forrest responds, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him, sir. You know, I think that's the way a lot of people are. They don't know that they're even supposed to be looking for Jesus in their life. But there is, at the same time, this incredible search for God in our society. People are searching for something different. And Zacchaeus was just like many of them. Luke chapter 19 is our passage today. And look, if you would, in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. So the Bible tells us that Jesus walks into the city of Jericho. Jericho is one of the oldest cities in all of the world. Jericho sits at a crossroads. Today, it's a crossroads of highways. It's a highway that runs north and south in Israel, and then it's a highway that runs east and west from Jerusalem over to the country of Jordan. And so right there at that crossroads is where Jericho sits. And by the way, there's a lot of crossroads that happen in our story today. Due to the location of where Jericho is, that city has always been right in the middle of ancient trade routes. When you sit on a trade route, there is money to be made. And the Bible tells us about the chief tax collector in that city. Now, tax collectors, as probably many of you know, among the Jewish people, were some of the most despised people of that age. A common tax collector would work for an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur would purchase the rights for a tax franchise from the Empire of Rome in a certain area. So instead of selling Subway sandwiches, his franchise was taxes. The tax collector would sit there at the tax office and collect taxes, or would sit by the roadside. Normally, the entrepreneur had somebody sitting by the roadside to inspect all the goods that were coming on those trade routes. And that tax collector had the ability and the power to make people on those trade routes pay a toll tax. A toll tax based on how much they were carrying or how much he wanted. Tax collectors were known for propping up the Roman government, and they were considered to be working for the enemy. In other words, tax collectors by the Jewish people were considered to be traitors. Traitors. Not only were they traitors, but they were also notorious for their greed. After having met their financial responsibility that they had to pay the Roman Empire, they were free to keep whatever surplus there was for themselves. Now remember, they're the ones determining how much somebody has to pay in taxes. And then they're taking that money, paying the Roman Empire what they're due, and then they're keeping the rest. So tax collectors had a reputation for being greedy, crooked, being thieves. And everybody considered tax collectors to be a part of a group that the religious leaders loved to call sinners. Now, the Bible says that they were despised. They were despised, particularly by the Pharisees, the religious leaders. In fact, when you read the Gospels, you find that the Pharisees didn't seem to like anybody, it seems like. Now, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. What does that mean? That means he was probably the entrepreneur that we talked about. He had purchased, more than likely, he had purchased the rights for the tax franchise at Jericho, where these trade routes, north, south, east, and west, are coming from. He was a kingpin, and he was this despised tax collector who was the kingpin, and he's got, more than likely, several tax collectors who are working for him. In other words, he's not just the worst, he's the worst of the worst. Everybody knew him, everybody hated him. Now, his name was a name that would be spoken of by the people in Jericho. But the way that they would talk about Zacchaeus was not singing a song like we do. They would say the name Zacchaeus and then they'd spit after saying his name. He's probably all but forgotten any type of Jewish roots he had because he wasn't allowed to worship with everybody else. The tax collectors were not allowed to go to the synagogue. They were not allowed to be a part of the religious life. He was an outcast in society, but he had to try to make peace with that by the fact that he was really just chasing money. As we would say in America today, he was chasing the almighty dollar. Maybe they had a phrase about chasing the almighty shekel back then. But based on the story, something begins to stir in his heart. There's something that stirs in the hearts of people today. And it's true today, and it was true back then. There was a desire within Zacchaeus for something more and something different. The way that I would say it is he was longing for something transcendent in his heart, something more in his heart. You see, the Bible teaches us in Ecclesiastes that God has put eternity in the hearts of people. And so that's that transcendence that is drawing him. He knows there is something more he needs. He just doesn't know what it is. So Zacchaeus feels this longing in his heart to know and to experience God, he just doesn't really think that's for him. He's not eligible, so to speak. Now, he's heard about Jesus. Everybody's heard about Jesus. Jesus had a reputation that was spreading far and wide, and depending on whose team you were on, that reputation was either a good reputation or a bad reputation. If you were like most people, it was a good reputation. If you were one of the religious leaders, it's a bad reputation. But the stories abound of what Jesus had done. And when Jesus does some of the things that he does in the Gospels, you don't keep stories like that quiet. You don't keep them contained. He had fed the masses and healed the sick and made the blind to see and raised the dead. So word was spreading around, and Zacchaeus had heard about this Nazarene. And Zacchaeus is drawn to a place that he knows that Jesus is going to pass by. What would draw Zacchaeus to that place? Here he is, he's an outcast. He's got tremendous guilt in his relationship with God. He really has no friends except other outcasts and other people that have no relationship with God. But he feels this yearning in his heart to see Jesus. Why did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Was he curious? Was it his conscience? All of those things, I think, may have played a factor. But there's a part we should never forget. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to the deepest places of the human soul. The Holy Spirit of God puts things in the hearts of people. And the Holy Spirit of God draws people to the Father. Zacchaeus was drawn by this irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, this undeniable power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 44, he says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So no one can come to Jesus unless the Father who sent Jesus draws him. So Jesus is telling us what's going on in this story, even though it's a different passage. Zacchaeus longed to know God, and there was something inside of him that longed to see Jesus. He knew there was something different about this man. But that's just the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit drawing people to Jesus, pulling on his heart that compelled him to go. But we got a problem. Here's the problem. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And then Yoda would speak up. And a wee little man was he. Look in verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. All right, we know of him being vertically challenged because we've been singing that song, many of us, since we were children. But there's more to it. There's more to it. And I can't prove all this from the text, but there's just some thoughts that I think are not, inconsistent. The crowd of people who live in Jericho despise Zacchaeus for what he does. Zacchaeus probably tries to keep a table between him and the populace at all times. And those people certainly would use everything they could to speak against him and to stand against him. And they would ridicule him, no doubt, for his stature even more because of the job that he had. Is there anything wrong with not being as tall as other people? No, of course not. But do people say hateful things? Absolutely. We see it all the time. And they would probably use something like that to just beat up old Zacchaeus even more. But it's more than just sticks and stones will break my bones kind of thing, but names will never hurt me. This is a crowd of people. And Zacchaeus, in the midst of a crowd, is likely to get an elbow in his face, across his chin. He's likely to get stepped on in the process. Who knows? He might experience one of those little daggers called Sicarii. It's in the name Iscariot. Those little daggers. He might get one of those stuck in his back. It's very serious. So it would have been very difficult for Zacchaeus to blend in anywhere, certainly given the nature of his occupation, his reputation, and his physical appearance. And I believe this probably just made him feel all the more alone and would push him farther away from having any kind of connection with people out there and certainly a connection with God. Everything about Zacchaeus, this guy that we sing about with our kids, everything about it puts him on the fringe of society. And people tend not to spend a lot of time with those on the fringes of society. Outside of the norm, this would be, outside of something unusual, this would be a very lonely place to be. Look in verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. There's two words that are in that text, that are in the story, that we oftentimes don't give a lot of thought to, but they're really important to understanding the story. And they're in there for a reason, that he ran and he climbed. Those two words are not in there by accident. The writer puts them in there on purpose because that's a big deal. You say, what's a big deal? A lot of people run, a lot of people climb. Well, actually, in those days, it was a big deal. People in those days didn't do that kind of thing. Nobody in Jericho was a jogger. Nobody went to the Jerusalem Marathon. Nobody was a rock climber or did parkour. People didn't do those things. It was antisocial in that culture for a man to run. Certainly for a man with any dignity about him. So the fact that that term is in there is there for a reason. But Zacchaeus, the Bible tells us, ran ahead of where Jesus was. It shows his desperation, his fear of missing out. He needed to see Jesus. You know, oftentimes, if we want to see Jesus, if we want to see God do a work in our hearts, we've got to be willing to get out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we have to do things. If we want God to do a work in our life, sometimes we express seriousness to God, I think, in our physical actions. Whether or not we're willing to get up and go do something, we invite every single Sunday, we invite people to make a decision that God has placed on their heart, whatever that decision is, and we encourage people to go to our Connect Room. Going to our Connect Room is kind of like running down the way. It takes some faith. It takes some activity. It takes some action. And oftentimes it takes moving out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we have to do some things that are out of the ordinary as an expression, as a demonstration of our seriousness to ourselves, but also to God. Well, I think that's what's happening with Zacchaeus. It takes effort to grow spiritually, and Zacchaeus is having to do some things that were not the norm. Now, Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, and he was willing to run. But not only did he run, he climbed. I mean, what does the kid song say? He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. It does not say, and this is the song is accurate to the text on this. It doesn't say because Zacchaeus wanted the Lord to see him. He wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus is not thinking about himself, much less hoping that Jesus would see him. That thought never crossed his mind. He just wanted to see a man that he had heard so much about. And there was something that was pulling him, so much so he was willing to run and willing to climb. Zacchaeus has probably at this point lost every ounce of dignity he ever had. Probably lost that a long time ago, doing what he did. And now whatever was left gets squeezed out as he runs and climbs a tree. He knew, though, he needed something more in his life. And that's why he was willing to humiliate himself, why he was willing to run, why he was willing to climb. And he did something radical. Because it just didn't matter anymore. He's so desperate. He was so empty with everything else, it just didn't matter anymore trying to keep up some charade. So Zacchaeus is looking for Jesus. Zacchaeus didn't know it at the time, but Jesus was looking for him. And he was found by radical grace. Found by radical grace. Look at verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and saw him. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. Last year, we had a surprise birthday party for my dad. And you know what? We got him good. We did. Have you ever had a surprise party for you? Has somebody ever given you a surprise party? Or maybe you've been a part of a surprise party? But you walk in the house, or you go to the restaurant, and you think everything's normal, and then all of a sudden all these people jump up out of nowhere, and they yell, surprise. And you kind of have a vision of Jesus for a moment, you know, because it scares you so bad. You jump out of your socks. And what does everybody say? We got you good. Oh, we've been working on this. And everybody starts going over the plan. We got you good. Zacchaeus had a surprise party that day, and he jumped out of his sandals. I mean, Jesus got him good. Zacchaeus thought that the focus was on a parade that Jesus was in. But all of a sudden, the spotlight turns and goes up in that tree. I mean, that spotlight is, and that focus is on him. Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. And in one sentence, Jesus not only affirmed Zacchaeus, but he returned to him some dignity. He showed Zacchaeus love. He made Zacchaeus feel known, feel special, feel important. To use a phrase that people use today, he made Zacchaeus feel seen, but in a good way. All in ways that money could never buy or satisfy. That's the exact opposite of what the people of Jericho had done. You know, people love to tear other people down. Jesus loves to build people up. If we're tearing people down, we're not being like Jesus. But we are being like Jesus when we encourage and we build others up. And Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and loved an unlovely man. And where? Where did he love him? Well, he loved him where Zacchaeus was. And where was Zacchaeus? Up a tree. Zacchaeus wasn't in temple. He wasn't in synagogue. He wasn't at church. He wasn't at the Bible study. He loved him in a tree. There are many people that you know that are not coming to church, and they're not coming to Bible study. But they're in a tree. Not literally. But they're in your office. They're in your neighborhood. They're in that group that you're a part of. They're on that team that you're a part of. And they're longing to be loved. They're out there. And Jesus loved Zacchaeus right where he was. And he loved him right as he was. But he loved him too much to leave him where he was. Jesus never said to Zacchaeus, hey, Zacchaeus, when you get your life together, buddy, you come and talk to me. When you get everything together, you come and talk to me. That's not what he did. He said, Zacchaeus, you come down. That's what the kids always emphasize. You know, you come down. He didn't tell him to clean up his act and then come down. Sometimes we have to be careful of that in our church life, in our Christian life, because sometimes we want people to come to Jesus, and so it's like we want them to get their life together. And then when you get your life together, then you can experience Christ and get saved. And once you know that, man, we're going to love you and welcome you into our church. That's not the way you got to do it. You got to do it like Jesus did it. You got to love people right where they are, with all of their messes, and still love them and help point them in the right direction. But I love what Jesus says. Jesus says, hey, come on down, come right now, because I'm having dinner and you're invited because it's at your house. We're eating at your house. I've invited myself over for dinner. All right, so what happened? Jericho's at a crossroads. Zacchaeus is in a tree, but he's at a crossroads. He had a choice to make about his life in that moment. He had a choice to make about his life and his future. He could stay in the tree. He could say, nah, I'm good. I'm good. Just keep going with the parade. He could have done that. He could just observe Jesus from a distance, ignoring the call of Jesus to come to him. Or he could climb down that tree and draw near to Jesus. He had a choice to make. It's very interesting. In your Bible, if you look in the previous chapter, is the story of the rich young ruler. And that story is an interesting story to be juxtaposed up against the story of Zacchaeus. Because the rich young ruler, like Zacchaeus, was a man of great wealth. And he was also, like Zacchaeus, he was a man who was searching. And when he encountered Jesus, he chose wealth over true riches. Now, I mentioned it's in the previous chapter here in Luke 18, but in the account of the rich young ruler in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 25, Jesus says to his disciples, "Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Zacchaeus would not make the same mistake that the rich young ruler did, who also came to the same crossroads that Zacchaeus came to, but made the wrong choice, chose to go the wrong direction. Zacchaeus would not make that mistake. Instead, he followed Jesus. Look in verse 6. "So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what Zacchaeus is thinking? I mean, the spotlight comes on him. He's up in a tree. It's already embarrassing that he's been running. It's embarrassing that he's climbed a tree. And now Jesus points out to everybody that Zacchaeus is up in a tree. And then Jesus says, "Hey, don't be in that tree anymore. You come down. I'm eating at your house." The leaves begin to rustle. The limbs begin to break. The camel begins passing through the eye of the needle. And Zacchaeus comes down. And it's all because Zacchaeus was seeking to be redefined, what our series has been about. You know, whenever God begins to work in people's lives, something always seems to happen. It happens a lot in the Bible. In fact, if you read the Gospels and you look for this, you'll see it pops up more than you realize. But oftentimes when God does a work, you know, Jesus does a work in somebody's life, there's always a group of people who do this, and they think they know better. Look in verse 7. "All the people saw this and began to mutter." I love that word. "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." They begin to mutter, and they call Zacchaeus a sinner. I think that's called not having self-awareness. When God works in your life, people become negative, and they begin to mutter at times. If God's working in your life and there's somebody that's trying to discourage you and all that, realize they're not the first. There's a long history of people who try to do that. So do something like Zacchaeus did. Ignore them. Those kind of people are always going to be around, and yet most of them will never know the power of God in their life. Instead, be like Zacchaeus. Look in verse 8. "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost.'" Zacchaeus makes a declaration about change and about the change that's happening in his life. And he immediately says, "I'm giving half to the poor, 50% to the poor." That's far beyond the normal 20% requirement of people at that time. And then he pledges restitution for anybody he's ever cheated. He said, "I'm going to make it right." It's so interesting when you read this story in light of the previous story. Again, that rich young ruler refused to do what Jesus asked him to do. And what did Jesus ask the rich young ruler to do? If you look back in chapter 18, we're in Luke 19. If you look in chapter 18 in verse 22, when Jesus heard this, he said to the rich young ruler, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Jesus tells the rich young ruler what to do. He does not tell Zacchaeus what to do. Zacchaeus does it without being asked. You see, when Jesus gets control of your heart, he controls how you think about money. He controls about how you think about finances, how you think about wealth, how you think about generosity. He controls those things. Zacchaeus, in this moment as we're watching, has been redefined, and that's evident by his actions, by what's going on. But the blessings in his life don't stop there. Jesus declares the redefinition of Zacchaeus. He says, "Today, salvation has come to this house." How is that for assurance of salvation? If you've ever struggled with whether or not you're truly saved, man, wouldn't you just love to have what Zacchaeus had? I mean, when Jesus tells you you're saved, you're good. You're saved. His life totally changed in one day, and he wasn't even expecting it. It totally changed in just a few moments, and what a difference for all of eternity. And I love this. He calls him in verse 9. He says, this man too is a son of Abraham. Wow. Everybody else thought that he was a son of Benedict Arnold, a son of Judas Iscariot, a son of Brutus or Cassius. He's a traitor. But now, Jesus identifies him with the father of the Jewish faith, with Abraham. He now shared in the works and the faith of Abraham. In other words, when you come to faith in Christ, you're part of the family. And Jesus is saying to Zacchaeus, "Hey, buddy, get out of the tree. We're eating at your house. And you are part of the family." So Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but he is now a big man. Because he is a new man. He has been redefined, and it has changed his life. Zacchaeus has been loved into transformation. And he was not going to delay to show externally what had happened internally in his life. This man went from being lonely, being hated, being an outcast, to being a man who is known by Jesus, loved by Jesus, and said, "Hey, you are a son of Abraham. Salvation has come to you." He went from being far from God to being a child of God. He went from greed to generosity. He went from lonely to loved. Zacchaeus thought that he was seeking Jesus, and yet the whole time, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus isn't here today. He's not here. But his story lives on. And it may very well live on in some of you. Not because you're climbing a tree, but because maybe you didn't realize it before, but you've been looking for Jesus. You just didn't know that that's what was happening. You realize maybe today, "Hey, I've been looking for Jesus." Can I tell you some good news? He's already looking for you. He's already looking for you. The reason that you're here today, the reason you're watching today, the reason you're within the sound of my voice today is because he's looking for you. Verse 10, "The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." God is seeking you. So listen. If you listen with your heart, you may hear your name. You may hear the voice of Jesus speaking in your heart, calling your name and saying to you, come down. I'm going to your house, to your heart, to your life today. Which puts you at a crossroads. A crossroads. It takes a step of faith to go down to that connect room and to talk to somebody about receiving Christ as Savior. It takes effort and action to walk down there and to walk in the room. But I think today, God may be speaking some of your names and saying, you come down to the connect room because I want to do a work in your life today. Would you bow your head with me today? If you are here today and you sense and feel the Spirit of God is speaking to you and calling you, you know it. You can try to debate it in your heart right now, but you know it. It's that pull, that yearning, that tug that is in your life. That is the Spirit of God that is speaking to you. And if you have never experienced the gift of God, that free gift of salvation that is found in Christ Jesus, I want to invite you to come down to the Connect Room today. Just right down the hall, it's a glassed-in room that's on our commons. We've got ministers there right now waiting to talk to you about how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to recognize that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again. And today you can believe in him, place your faith and trust in him, and receive him as your Savior and Lord. If you've never done that, listen to the voice of God calling your name and telling you to come down. Come down to that connect room and see what God will do in your life. Maybe you're here today and you already know Christ as Savior. Maybe you want to join our church. We'd invite you to come and join our church. Maybe you're here today and you want to be baptized. You've never been baptized. We're going to baptize at 11 o'clock today. And maybe you're sensing God speaking to you about being baptized. Maybe the next time we're going to be baptizing. You can go to the Connect Room and we can schedule that. You can go to the Connect Room to join the church. You can go to the Connect Room because you need prayer in your life. You need somebody to pray for you about a need that you have. Maybe you're here today and you want to talk to somebody about a problem, a concern, a burden. We have people there who will visit with you. We have deacons that want to pray. If you have a prayer request, they'll pray for you today. Maybe you sense God's calling on your life to ministry or missions. We want to talk to you and pray for you and encourage you in that journey. But it doesn't just happen through osmosis. The Bible talks about faith. And sometimes just walking to that room is just a demonstration in your life of faith. And so you find yourself today at that crossroads. Won't you come down? Won't you come down to what God is leading you to do today? Don't push him away. It's a wonderful day to say yes to Jesus as he passes by your heart and life. Don't be afraid, ashamed, or embarrassed. God knows you. He loves you. He sees you right where you are. Whatever tree you may be up right now, he sees you. And he's calling your name. Would you quietly stand where you are as I lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you, God, for the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth and dying on the cross. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And Father, I pray for those here today who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would receive Christ as Savior and Lord this very day. God, give them faith and courage to be willing to go to the Connect Room. Not just those right here in this room, but Lord, those who are next door and Room 1, those will be here in the next hour, the two services then. God, I pray that people would be willing to follow Christ today, give their life to Jesus Christ this very day. Lord, I pray that people would join the church. I pray that people would make decisions that honor you, God, if it's a call to ministry, if it's baptism, whatever it may be. Father, I pray that we would do what you're leading us to do because you have called us. You sent your son to die for us, and you call us to give our life to you. So, Lord, help us to live for you this day. Thank you for the story of Zacchaeus. Let it not be so familiar that we miss the fact that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Open our hearts, ready our hearts. Thank you, God. We love you. And we pray it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.